The Stats Zone, FPL Weekly.
Hello, thanks for downloading the StatsZone.com FPL podcast. This week we discuss our favourite new signing, the January transfer window. We'll also take a look at who's in the lead in our differentials league. And now that we know a bit more about the upcoming blanks and double game weeks, we'll discuss our various chip strategies. First of all, which team has done the best business in January? Don't all go at once.
Let's start with Higuain.
Right.
Higuain. So, I think the biggest transfer, maybe not the best business, but the biggest transfer of the January window was Gonzalo Higuain going to Chelsea, you know, reuniting with Sarri. I think he's a solid option for, not for this week coming up, but for those going forward, particularly with the Chelsea double game weeks coming through, $9.5 million. Puts him in a price bracket that's lower down than the premium strikers. So if he can hit a bit of form, I'd say he'd be one I might look at.
It was interesting the game against United that Sarri, you know, wouldn't either A, bring Giroud on alongside him or even replace him, even when they needed to like hoof it forward with, you know, 10 minutes left and 2-0 down.
I'm still not convinced that the system really suits him. I mean, if Hazard's not creating, and it's all going through Hazard, as you saw against United, but other than that, there's not really much going on around him. Kante, Sarri is persistently playing Kante further forward. In the face of mass criticism on that, he's not a creative player. He's much better as a defensive mid. I just don't think it's a great time to be a striker at Chelsea. It's just not, there's not enough going through him. Yeah, he scored twice against Huddersfield, but I just think there's better options.
You're saying you could score two against Huddersfield?
Maybe not me. I mean, they overlooked me in the transfer window. But
no, I just think he's, you know, he's probably the biggest signing that went on in the summer.
He is.
Or in the January even.
And that, to be honest, that game against United, I actually liked what I saw of him. And I did actually think it's one of the first times that a Chelsea striker might just fit in. His movement off the ball,
it was very good.
Is way better. It was first half completely. Second half, when United were established, had got the lead, could totally sit back, then it was different. But he made a few good runs. He links up well with Hazard, and I just think you could see it. Listen, this is, if Sarri gets sacked, then this changes everything, doesn't it? Because if somebody else comes in, I don't know, Zidane or whoever, doesn't like him, then it changes again.
It does.
But let's see.
I don't doubt him at all. I mean, he's got, especially with Sarri, he's got a great record. 36 goals he scored for Napoli in his previous season when they teamed up together. So that was his best season. But it's just more the team around him. And there just seems to be something missing at Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah,
they're completely outplayed by United in the FA Cup. I'm going to hold off on him myself.
Yeah, I mean, Giroud is the only other player at Chelsea is going to be playing in that position. Morata's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So he's likely going to start every game.
And Batshuayi is gone.
But I do think Batshuayi at Palace is potentially a better option, definitely better value for money. Mm. 6.5 million. An ex-Chelsea player, of course. Now, his numbers are actually quite good if you look at them. In his Premier League career, 7 goals and 3 assists in just 643 minutes of action. So that leads to a goal, an attack and return every 64 minutes.
That's good.
If you scale that up, that's obviously very impressive. And that there's potential there for sure. Bit of an inconsistency in his career, but he has been prolific in spells. His loan spell at Dortmund actually started off pretty well when he went from Chelsea. 9 goals in 14 games there. He scored 7 and 9 for Belgium last year. So he's definitely one I've got my eye on. He's going to play, isn't he? Hodgson's going to prefer him to Benteke, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he doesn't trust Benteke. Wickham just coming back after a long, long-term injury.
Yeah.
What I like about Batshuayi is he's on loan. For them to, whether they can afford him is a different matter, but this is his showcase.
An audition.
And this is a chance now where it does, assuming that they should be safe, he's going to play him, I think, most weeks, given the game time, so...
Yeah,
at least you know he's going to play.
Palace, they do have at least one double game week to come. Two if they beat Watford in the FA Cup quarterfinals. So from that perspective, it could be a good double game week option. So one to look out for. And I think at 6.5 million, not many other options in that bracket at the moment, especially with Wilson injured. You got obviously Jimenez has been a very consistent performer. But Batshuayi, I'm considering him for my double game week drafts.
Yeah, he's
another good shout, isn't he? Because there's no one challenging for his position again.
Yeah.
Okay, Benteke and Wickham. Was the other one? Sorloth's gone somewhere, isn't he?
Sorloth's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Zaha on either side, or one side, Townsend on the other, is good creativity there.
Yeah. I think if Batshuayi and Zaha can get on well, they'd probably be quite good as a front two.
Yeah.
Maybe Zaha just behind him. But also, Batshuayi did win the league for Chelsea, if you remember. Like, he scored the title winning goal. So maybe he's good for big games. Maybe he's good for like a relegation scrap if it gets there.
That's going to be the key thing. Is he going to be up for that? And in a team that typically doesn't score as many goals as a Dortmund or a Chelsea, so
he's got something to prove as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've got another one to throw out there. Another January transfer window signing. That's, I feel filthy saying this, to be honest, but Umar Nias at Cardiff.
I almost choked on my water there, Rob.
Yeah, you know, he's got something about him. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know what made Roberto Martinez his farewell present to Everton to waste a good 11, 12 million on him. But, you know, he scored 8 goals in 22 games in his first season at Everton, and he's going to play. We know he's going to play at Cardiff. He's played all 4 games so far. He's been subbed in all 4, but, you know, he's building his fitness up. He hasn't played for a long time.
But he started those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, started all 4, okay. Yeah.
He's also not scored in all 4.
No.
Or assisted in all 4.
No. It's patience, and it's the long game we're playing here, just between now and the end of the season.
How much patience are you going to have as a fantasy manager, though? Yeah. You're game week 27 now.
He's 5 million, and what I'm saying is, in the coming weeks when there's going to be a lot of, you know, you're going to be missing some players, like this weekend, for example, he's not a bad option to have that. He's going to play. He does have a 1-in-3 goal record, historically. Now, that does only mean 3 or 4 goals between now and the end of the season, but he's an option. And at 5 mil, I mean, it just helps you strengthen the rest of your team.
To be fair, he did almost save Hull, and he did go to a team in the relegation scrap as well, so he's been there and done that already. Mm-hmm. He's hard-working.
He is, yeah.
That's all you can say about him.
He'll get there. You know, it's not easy coming into a new team and a struggling team that doesn't score many goals. I think they're like the third lowest scorers in the league at Cardiff. But he'll chip in with a couple. That's my point between now and the end of the season.
All right, and what about midfielders? Any decent options there?
I've gone for an old favourite of mine from the Liverpool heyday when I was young enough to remember Kout and Babylon either wing. unfortunately, Kout's not come back. Maybe he will, because Fulham is buying everyone who used to be in Liverpool, Markovic included, who we've not covered for some reason. Oh, exactly, yeah. he's also there. Brian Babbel has one of those rare records. I think James Milner has something like it. He's not lost, but Brian Babbel can beat that by having won in every Premier League game he's scored in, which is 11. All for Liverpool, obviously, but that stat still stands because Fulham haven't... He's not scored for Fulham, which is why they haven't won.
Bit of a concern as a fantasy manager. But...
Yeah. I'm not saying he's the best option available here, but he's 5.5 million, and he's basically a forward in midfield. So if he does score, he gets the extra point because he's a classified midfielder. So he gets all the right... he gets an extra point if they keep a clean sheet, which they won't, so I don't know why I bother saying that.
I think you're talking yourself out of it, if I'm honest.
No, I think as a cheap... As a bench option for your midfield... on some of these odd weeks where some don't play, Fulham do score goals. He's already got an assist, not for Mitrovic, but for Vieto. But he's there. He almost scored the other week from a metre out, but didn't. Otherwise, Fulham would have won because of his stat. But he's got a good record. He's come from the best form of his life, albeit that being in the Turkish league. Mm-hmm. But since the season and a half before this half a season he's joined Fulham, he's got 17 goals in 44 games, which is almost 1-in-2. I think he played as sort of like an inside left forward there as well, so it's the same role. I just think I like the idea of him on the left, Schürrle on the right, and Mitrovic through the forward. I think he may be more useful as an assists provider for Mitrovic and Vieto, but he's cheap and he's cheerful.
Yeah, 5.5 mils, okay.
I couldn't bring myself to buy him. Again, as a Liverpool fan, I just remember being frustrated by him a lot. You know, he'd score a screamer one week and then he just wouldn't do anything for a while. So... yeah, he doesn't fill me with anticipation that he's going to start hauling. But
does look like he's going to play, though, doesn't it? Like he's going to be a feature. Yeah. Ranieri's definitely threw him straight in. Yeah, obviously trust him more than Sessegnon.
Exactly, so. He's got the advantage. He's playing game week 27, he's playing game week 31.
Yeah.
You know, Fulham have fixtures there, so it's a player that is going to be in those blank game weeks.
Yeah, a couple of assists already, actually, so that's not bad, I suppose, for his price. See how that shapes up.
Mm-hmm. What about a lot's been made of Almiron at Newcastle?
Yeah, I think he's a bit more of an exciting signing, really. He lit the MLS up, but now the big question is whether he can make the step up to the Premier League. It has been done before. Clint Dempsey, good example. Someone that can perform coming to the English game.
We've all got fond memories of Clint Dempsey from our
fantasy. A fantasy
history.
Legend, isn't he? An absolute essential in your team.
Yeah, it was before my time, but...
No, you missed out, Adam. But, I mean, he's attacking midfielder, plays off the striker. He's actually played in a number of different positions in his career. Sometimes as part of a front two, off on the left wing. Yeah. I think he'll probably just play off Rondon with potentially Kennedy on the other side. Benitez needs more creative to get more creativity to Rondon. Only Huddersfield have scored less than Newcastle in the Premier League this season. They're averaging under a goal a game scored. So the desperate needs a bit of spark there, and I think he can offer that. He only played 18 minutes in his debut. Looked bright. Newcastle played a friendly the other day against CSK Moscow, and he did look pretty good there. His MLS stats very good. 2017, 9 goals, 8 assists. 2018, 12 goals, 11 assists, and won the MLS Cup with Atlanta. So he's a winner.
I think the advantage he has going to Newcastle as well is there's not, well, as you've alluded to, there's not a lot of creativity in that side at the moment. So he's going to probably, once he's got his fitness up, be in as the main focal point for that.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing towards the end of the season, particularly with Newcastle, potentially with the double game weeks as well coming up. You know, it might be worth it as a differential.
Yeah, for sure. You know, price at $6 million, that's kind, I think. So it definitely makes him tempting. He scored a hat trick and 6 braces at Atlanta. So he's got the potential to, you know, double figure hauls. But there were a lot of times when he blanked as well. So he's kind of a feast or famine kind of player.
I think for $6 million, you'd be happy with that, though.
You
if
would
you bring him in and he's bagging two and then not scoring for a couple of game weeks. It's going to be expected.
So here's the play with Almiron. He struggles the second half of the season. He's not fully match fit. You know, the MLS season finished in November. Not fully match fit. He will be phased in. Rafa won't want to take a risk on him too much, certainly more than in a relegation fight. So his price remains quite low. Next season, get him in. The new Riyad Mahrez.
Riyad Mahrez.
That's what I'm calling.
I've got more negatives, unfortunately, for him as well.
Well, I thought that was bad enough, but go on.
Well, I like his stats this year. Was it, how many goals and assists in this campaign they won the cup?
12 goals, 11 assists.
Yes.
But he was part of a very effective front three, and it's sort of like taking Sterling or Suarez or Sturridge out of the team and putting them somewhere else.
So we've had him compared to Mahrez, Sterling, Suarez and Sturridge
probably better than Sturridge, but... I would say also he's coming from America to the northeast of England, which is different. I've not been to America or Newcastle, but I'm fairly sure they're quite different places.
I've been to both in the last couple of months.
Okay.
They are different, yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's the insight you can give them.
Yeah, that is all I can say.
I just think, yeah, I like your idea that he might grow into his craft. He's young, isn't he? He's 24. He's a nice signing for the future, but I'm not sure if he's going to do it immediately.
It'll take time, I think.
Well, if he's not in Rob's team at the start of next season, we'll be bringing this podcast back up.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, well, what about a player who does have ex-Premier League experience in Nasri?
And we all remember him back from his Arsenal days.
He's cropped again, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
And Man City?
He did have a Man City, yeah. Well, he had his good season, didn't he, at Arsenal, where he scored 10 goals, got an assist, 134 fantasy points, and he got his big money move to Manchester City. Backed it up that following year, you know, 5 goals, 9 assists, and... was a real mainstay in that team for a few years, and unfortunately got himself injured. I think it was in 14-15 season, and just slowly got phased out. Headed to Sevilla. Since then, he had his doping ban for 18 months.
Alleged doping ban.
Alleged doping ban for 18 months.
It was definitely.
He's only just...
He was a lawyer or something.
But yeah, for the purpose of our fledgling podcast, just always say alleged.
Say alleged. But yeah, so he's back, but he's... He's not played, as I say, then for 18 months. Played a couple of games, got injured. Due back, though, this week or next week. So if he can recapture the form that he saw in the early 2010, 2011, then it'll be a steal at 5.3 million. Mm. But it's just...
So he's already dropped 0.2, hasn't he? I mean, it looks like good value for money.
To be fair.
Cheaper than Babel.
Yeah.
I've never questioned Nasri's talent. I mean, he's got ability.
His work ethic, wasn't it, in the end at City that really saw him fall by the wayside? A lot of the fans and then Pellegrini start questioning it, and subsequently he just got phased out.
I mean, he's another one. He's going to have to produce the goods now and the end of the season. My concern with him is fitness. You know, to not have played for so long and then to be playing every single week.
I mean, Arnautovic is, he's the main man. Nasri, I mean, he's not been very popular, 0.5% owned, so no one's really jumped on him, even though he did get an assist.
Mm. First game, wasn't it?
First game, yeah. And I thought he looked good in that. He followed that up with a pretty nondescript performance against Bournemouth, and he's been injured since, although it's not likely to keep him out for too long.
I would consider targeting West Ham players, given their run of fixtures and so on, and lack of kind of blank game weeks. But he's not the one, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they play Huddersfield game week 31, so, you know, if you maybe want a differential to Felipe Anderson, just monitor, see how he goes over the next few game weeks. But he's got history in the Premier League to show that he can provide that creativity.
I think of the new signings, I mean, I looked at Nathaniel Clyne as a potential option, a cheap one, somebody who's going to come in and play every single game, which he has done so far. Apart from the one against Liverpool, which he was ineligible to play in. You've got to make sure they're going to play, you know, especially if you're going to use bench boost at some point soon. And Clyne is one of those. I'd rather go for somebody like that or a Clyne in the ass rather than a Nasri who you're not convinced is going to play every single week at the minute.
I'm just annoyed that Liverpool sold Clyne. I mean, well, got rid of him.
I suspect they're ruining it right now.
Yeah, the loaner. It's just.
Well, the trend is back for a game.
He is now, but we suffered, and this is a whole other tangent.
The proof will be in the pudding, won't it, at the end of the season? But given the fact he's played, started all four matches so far, played 90 minutes in all of them, I always thought that there was some kind of fitness issues that Klopp wasn't sure about. However, he obviously just doesn't rate him.
I'm a massive fan of Clyne. I think last season, and maybe a bit before that, he was an unsung hero in Liverpool's squad. I brought him in as soon as he went to Bournemouth on my FPL team. And he's got two... but it's Bournemouth, isn't it? So in 1 week he'll get an assist and a clean sheet, and the next week he'll get a minus two. Yeah. But he's been good so far. As soon as I saw him go, he will play every game.
He's been part of two clean sheets in four games so far. But as you say, it's Bournemouth. Yeah.
Back when he was at Southampton, he was quite an attacking threat. He used to rack up some assists there with Bertrand on the other side. They were really good. I mean, if he can replicate that, then definitely an option. I don't think clean sheets are the way to go for Bournemouth. I know they've had a couple, but they're just very shaky, especially away from home.
I think he's good value, Clyne. Of all the signings that have been made in the January transfer window, he's probably the one that I would consider most for bringing in. As Rob says, he's going to play 90 minutes every game. Bournemouth maybe hit or miss, but you're buying a £4.4 million defender. Yeah. You're wanting someone who's going to be in every week. He's going to play in the blank game weeks. And Bournemouth are capable of clean sheets sometimes. And they're also capable of scoring plenty of goals with fullbacks attacking. So I think for that amount of money, he's a good signing.
Sounds like the star of the show for our new signings.
It might be it. 4.4, there you go.
Oh, I'll just ruin that with one last bit of a wild card one. Seeing as I don't think many of us have seen him play that much. But Youri Tielemans for Leicester. Come from Monaco, who seem to be loaning out all of their players despite being in the relegation zone in France for some reason. I don't understand what's going on there. He's come to Leicester and they've swapped him for Adrian Silva, so maybe they need someone tougher in midfield. But Tielemans has already played 200 games and he's 21 years old.
He was spoke of, wasn't he, as like the next big thing when he came into
Football Manager legend.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Like him and that Odegaard guy, the Norwegian guy, are the ones you buy when you're young if you've got an old
it's
game.
True.
It's cheating though, isn't it, when you play Football Manager 2014 and you buy all the young stars. He's been an international for a while. He was in the Belgium squad. I think he played the third place match against England.
Dead rubber.
He got two assists and two appearances, one in each game, which is consistency as well as, I mean, it's 2-2, it's 100% record. He's not expensive, but he's 6 million for untested, but I think, although he doesn't play in Mahrez's position, the Gazal thing hasn't really worked for them. In sort of, let's just buy another Algerian and hope it's Mahrez.
This is another new Mahrez, is it?
Well,
I think the second one in this podcast.
Not a new Mahrez, but I think he'll be a mixture. He'll probably fill the hole that they've never filled with getting rid of Danny Drinkwater in a sort of more of a central creative, but he's more, he's a bit like a budget Hazard, I think.
I think he'll end up playing, I don't think he's going to start every single game. I mean, it's going to take time, but I think they'll want to try him in one of the central two roles, and for either Ndidi or Mendy, and just for certain games, unless they do have a good number of home fixtures coming up that are quite appealing, to put him in for one of those, because right now they've got two destroyers. It's not always needed when you're at home against a weaker opposition. So let's see. Let's see if he comes in.
He also interests me as far as I can think, one of the only players in Leicester squad now that Claude Puel's picked himself.
It's a fair shout.
And he's not. He seems to be pissing off everyone else in his squads. Maybe a new golden boy is what they need.
Yeah. You know that Puel's going to, you know, between now and the end of the season, to keep his job, they're going to have to open up and go for it a bit more, so.
Yeah, Maddison has tailed off a bit in terms of his, he was quite a popular choice earlier on in the season, so. Could be. I mean, Leicester, again, a team that don't blank. They played Burnley in game week 31. Mm. So a lot of people will be loading up on Leicester players in the run-up to that, depending on your chip strategy, which we'll get to later.
So quickly then, who was the worst signing that we've not covered? I'm thinking maybe Havard Nordveit as a defender for Fulham, which is just, you wouldn't go for it, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, absolutely not.
I think I'll say the worst one, purely because I think a few mug fantasy players will get suckered into picking Peter Crouch.
I knew you were going to say Peter Crouch.
Somebody will, and they'll think Peter Crouch, and he will. He'll pop up with one filthy late winner or equaliser or something. He's hardly going to play.
Even at 4.5, yeah, I agree. He's not,
even at that,
Woods and Barnes are going to play most of the time, yeah, if not all the time. Is an option let off the bench for them, really. Last resort, perhaps, when they're chasing the game. But yeah, I just don't think he's even worth being bench fodder.
Have you got anybody, Tim? Do you want to hammer anybody? No. Nobody's mentioned Solanke.
No one's mentioned Suarez either for Arsenal. I was just thinking.
Yeah, do you know, and I thought he would be one that would get phased in. Not really happened.
Too expensive. He didn't do anything.
I think he is, yeah. He's 6.5, isn't he? And at that price bracket, you can get in Ryan Fraser. I mean,
Aaron Ramsey. Sorry.
It's harsh. But Richarlison's troll, but he's 6.6. You know, Vojovic as well, 6.2. So at that price bracket, there's too many players that have already proved it in the Premier League for you to take a punt on one that's new to it.
I just wanted to say we do have an article on the StatZone.com website which lists every single January signing, including the loan moves, including their FPL history, if they do have any, and a bit of scout analysis on their worth as an FPL asset. So,
and you can tell on that I wrote the Peter Crouch bit and not Rob, because I was much more kind,
generous
to the veteran.
It was a team effort.
I am reading his autobiography. It's very entertaining. His missus is lovely. But that's it. Yeah, that would have been my article.
Well, let's sweep that up now and move on to the bit that really matters. I don't even know what I've scored. I've lost all interest in my own ability at this game. But the differential choices game. If you're new to the podcast, the rules are as follows. We all pick a differential choice each week. They have to be selected by 5% or less FPL teams. We tot up the score at the end of the week. Someone wins a week, and at the end of the season, someone will win a prize that we've yet to discuss. But we will definitely think about that at a later date. So, who won?
Well, the game week 26 last was a bit of a disaster for all involved. I had Moutinho, 2 points. Rob, you had Shaqiri, didn't even play.
I picked Shaqiri, and it was purely based on Klopp's hug. In that game against the end of the West Ham game. Turns out he was hugging him because he was injured. I didn't
misread that hug.
So it was the wrong hug. Was it the hug where he hugged him and he disappeared? That went
viral? I think he squeezed him too tight.
Do you want to keep talking about Aaron Ramsey then, or
Ramsey was the week before?
Yeah.
So, well, is anyone? No one's gone Aaron Ramsey.
He still plays for them at least. There's Shaqiri.
Adam, you had Matt Ryan,
which is worse, isn't it? Because he scored zero but played. Yeah. So.
Played, got booked, conceded 0 points.
Yeah,
and the star of the show was Tim. You went with the marauding left back Patrick Van Aanholt with a mammoth 3 points.
He got a bonus point, didn't he?
He got a random bonus point.
Deserved bonus point. He's so attacking.
So you win on account of that bonus point.
I win on account from being the better player at picking the differentials.
So what's the overall total?
Hollow victory, I think. But
it's a victory is a victory.
That's the important thing.
Well, in last place, fortunately, is you, Adam, with 2 points.
Yeah.
From a combined total of two from Vardy and Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and Tim, both on 4. That's just appearance points, basically. And then Rob, you're still ahead there with 9.
Can we say that I've probably just won it now between now and the end of the season?
Only FPL league you're going to win this year.
I'll take it.
I mean, the less said about your actual team, the better.
That's appalling.
So anyway, swiftly on to game week 27. Who are we picking here?
It's a tough week.
So Rob, you're on the lead, so I think you should go first.
Okay.
Show us the way.
It's a tough week, whether it's captaincy, whether it's a differential. I think it's a hard week this week. I've gone full Tim's route from last week of last time out in terms of picking a defender. I was tempted with Rondon. He scored 6 goals this season. I'm not convinced that he's going to score, even though Newcastle got a very favourable game against Huddersfield at home. So I'm going with Yedlin.
That's like the least exciting differential pick. It's not even like a Van Aanholt who has attacking potential.
Yeah, Newcastle fans will not be happy. They've been absolutely slaughtering him recently.
Yeah, I think it's purely from the fact he's going to play. I did toy with the idea of going for one of the centre-backs, like Clark has got 3 goals this season. But Yedlin's played by far the most games of all of them, and that's what I've gone with. So I'm going purely with Huddersfield simply cannot score a single goal.
Yeah, I think they're likely to keep a clean sheet, but on the centre-half, I'd have gone with Jamal Lascelles. Like, whenever Newcastle seem to keep a clean sheet, he gets bonus points. He's already had 7 this season, Yedlin just the 1. Given that he doesn't really attack, I'd say he'd give you more opportunity to score more points.
I think you could almost pick any of the back 5. Yeah, so I'm going to Yedlin.
Right. Exciting. Wishing for a clean sheet you are there.
It's another bottom week for you then, Rob.
Let's see. I'm top of the table.
All right. Someone more exciting, Adam, please.
Fernando Llorente, who...
Yawn.
Okay.
No, I like his... I just like every time he scores as if he scored for the first time. He's 33. But the main stat...
Because he only scored about 5 goals.
Well, yeah, that's true. But he did last week in the 3-0 win over Dortmund in Champions League score his first goal as a substitute for Spurs, which is amazing, seeing that's all he's been doing for the last 2 years.
Well, it's a good job. He'll be substitute again, won't he, for game week 27?
Yeah,
I'm not sure actually. It's one of those games I could see him potentially starting.
Kane's back.
There's a few rotations. Is he back?
Yeah, Sky Sports have been reporting he's back in full training. Dinner, he says that he's out of schedule.
So I think he's going to go straight in and start.
I mean, I don't actually think he will start straight away, Kane, but he's definitely going to play, which will eat into some form of Llorente's time on the pitch.
I've written down here that I think they've got a midweek Premier League match for Chelsea Wednesday next week, so he might be saved for that, seeing as this is away at Burnley on a Saturday morning as well, or Saturday afternoon, 12:30. Yeah. He has got 21 points over the last 3 games, which is more than any of us combined in 2 differential games.
So you're saying as a collective 4 were worse than Fernando Llorente?
That is...
Yeah. You're saying something, isn't it? That says more about us than Fernando Llorente. I just think Son might be rested. I mean, you're saying Kane kind of had to change that a bit, but we've got quite a long fixture list coming up.
Son might be rested.
Or not given the entire game. And now Llorente could score off the bench as well. I think history has made us think that Llorente is actually playing worse than he is, but he's not. He's got an assist in his last 3 as well.
So one in each game. As many home goals as he has goals in his last 4.
Yeah, but he is. On his way at Burnley, which, I mean, it could be just a 1-0, but I wouldn't be surprised if that 1-0 was either his assist or his header.
They've really improved as well, Burnley, haven't they, recently? Like, since they changed to Heaton.
Well, they're unbeaten,
They've shored up a lot at the back, conceding a lot less shots. I think you're in trouble.
I just think, as a main striker, he's 2.7% owned, so he counts. And you stole the one I wanted to do. So
I picked last.
I know, but I forgot that I wanted to do this one. So who are you doing, Tim?
I am picking Antonio from West Ham. 6.8 million, 1.2% owned. They've got Fulham this week. I think he's a great pick. With Philippe Anderson unavailable to me in this format, I've gone to the opposite side. So he's got a goal and an assist in his last 2 matches. Against Liverpool and against Crystal Palace. They're playing Fulham, and I think that really is all I need to sell it on.
So what's that? You can't afford Felipe Anderson, so he's in it.
I can't. He's owned by something like 14-15% of players, so he's far and above. But yeah, he's playing Fulham, so a team that have conceded 58 goals, so 10 more than the second worst record of Huddersfield in the league. They've conceded 2 goals in each of the last 6 matches, 32 and 13 away matches, and 8 in the last 3. They're going to concede. And I think Antonio is a good shout of someone who might get a couple.
They're going to concede.
Fulham are going to concede. Yeah. They're going to concede. And they had a bonus for Antonio. He plays this week. He's got a game on a game week 31 against Huddersfield.
Yeah.
West Ham's fixtures over the next 6 game weeks. They've got Fulham, Man City next week or midweek, then Newcastle, Cardiff, Huddersfield and Everton. So a great run. So not just for this week.
So you're going to pick him every week now for the next?
Not just for this week, but I think for the next 5 out of the next 6 weeks, I could see Antonio being someone worth bringing in.
Tristan, what you got?
I mean, I don't know what I was thinking when I came up with this, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to back it up. It's a real punt, and it's crazy to think that, considering that it used to be an essential FPL player.
We've got a drum roll here.
And that's...
Oh, I missed it. Oh, is it?
I know, it was a bit of a build-up there, wasn't it? Alexis Sanchez is my pick. He's one of the few players yet to really raise his level under Solskjaer. I mean, we've seen that the rest of the team have really stepped up to the plate, and he's yet to do that. But I just think that there's such a good atmosphere at the club at the moment. I think sooner or later it's going to rub off on him. He did do an interview with the BBC earlier in the week. He seems to have the backing of his teammates.
That was a good interview with Herrera.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was quite revealing. It's the most he sort of talked about his time at United, I think, full stop. He spoke a bit about his struggles under Mourinho. All right, he's not really yet been trusted by Solskjaer, but he's come off the bench in the last 5. So I'm not certain he's going to start, but I think if there is a game where he's going to show his class, it could be this fixture against Liverpool.
Well, he played Lukaku, didn't he? In the obviously, Martial and Lingard are out.
Yeah.
Played Lukaku in the Cup. Lukaku didn't really do a great deal. No. It was okay, but...
He never does a great deal.
No, the game and the style, it isn't overly suiting him either. It wouldn't surprise me if Sanchez starts for Lukaku against Liverpool.
I think, yeah, he's got a good chance of it. And as I said, they all seem to be behind him and they want him to do well. Mm. And that can make a big difference. I mean, this is a guy who scored 24 goals, 11 assists just 2 seasons ago. He's a class act. He just hasn't yet transferred it to his United. It's not really worked out for him there yet. But
no, he hasn't scored since game week 8 for United.
Yeah, 1 goal, 5 assists this season. Definitely not been worth the price tag. He's now down to 10.0, but still looks overpriced for his...
Did score in the FA Cup against Arsenal.
He had a very good pre-season as well. I think one of my friends decided to get him in on the back of that, and it was probably one of the worst decisions he's made.
Yeah. It's a real punt, and it's a short-term one as well, because United aren't... they're blanking 31 and 33.
It's quite interesting though that you've picked Alexis Sanchez with 1 Premier League goal all season to score against your team Liverpool this week.
Yeah, I have to admit it's a bit of a fear pick. I mean, I just feel like of course he'll turn it on against us finally.
I genuinely hope he does.
Sure you do. Yeah. I'm praying he doesn't, but I think United are going to be well up for that. They're the form team at the moment in the Premier League. The way they dismantled Chelsea, one of the most impressive performances I've seen, I think, this season. And taking that into a game against Liverpool, they'd love to deny us the title. And I think they want to have a say in it as well. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, I'm just...
3 picks and 1 good one.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I have no faith in any of us, so... Apart from yours, Antonio. I called you Antonio.
I think Antonio had the least amount of criticism to it.
He had no criticism because it's the best pick.
Because he's playing.
Because you wouldn't shut up, you didn't let us talk, actually.
It's the best.
If in doubt, just pick someone against Fulham.
And speak really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's speak a bit now about the big topic at the moment in the FPL community, which is the upcoming blanks and doubles. Now, the FA Cup 5th round coming to a close over the weekend and the draw... We now know the definite blanks in game week 31. So there's only going to be 5 fixtures in that game week, which are Bournemouth versus Newcastle, Burnley versus Leicester, West Ham Huddersfield, Fulham Liverpool, and Everton Chelsea. Now this brings up all kinds of different strategies that could work. The one I'm going to focus on at the moment is one that's relevant to our own site team because we have all our chips available, and. Boy, don't we need them.
We've only got half a team available.
Yeah. So if you are in that position, which a lot of people are, a lot of people tend to save their chips for the sort of run-in when there's a few doubles and blanks. What's the best approach? Now, it seems that most people, that there's kind of 2 schools of thought. Some people are thinking of using their free hit in blank game week 31 just to try and get a full 11 players playing, because if you don't do that, it's going to be a struggle to get those players in. I'm personally veering towards the next strategy, which is to just plan our free transfers. So for our own team, for example, I think if we make strategic transfers up until game week 31, getting rid of some players that don't play in game week 31, that will allow us free hits in game week 32, which is, it's likely that all those blank fixtures in 31 will be rescheduled to. So we'll have a double game week in 32, load up on those players with our free hit chip, and that doesn't really destabilise our team too much, because then when it comes to game week 33, we can revert to the team we had for 31, where a lot of the same teams play. The United, there's also a confirmed blank in game week 33, which is United Wolves. Now that brings up some complications, because Wolves and United assets are quite heavily owned at the moment. So you know, pretty much everyone's got Pogba, Rashford, Jimenez, perhaps Doherty. So planning around that is going to be crucial. I think a lot of players are only going to have sort of 7, 8, 9 starters in game week 31. And I think I'd be okay with that for our own team.
Right, okay. So, wildcarding?
Wildcard, I would save until... I know you're an advocate of using it sooner, Rob, and that's potentially something we can discuss. But the strategy that people are doing that are free-hitting in 32 would be that they'd bench use a wildcard in 34
right
ahead of the second double game week, which would be game week 35. And then that's when you use the bench boost. So you'd get, you know, 14,
yeah, okay,
15 double game weekers. Use the bench boost to really maximise that chip. So that's probably what I'm definitely going to do that for my own team, or at least that's what I'm veering towards. And then our triple captain that leaves. Now, Liverpool play Huddersfield in game week 36 at home. Could potentially be a big game.
That sounds like it would be around a potential Champions League semi-final as well.
Yes, well, it could be.
You might have lost the title by then, hopefully. Being a Champions League semi, and we'll have another carry us fumble or a...
So you're considering a triple captain not on a team that's playing twice?
I actually am, yeah.
Well, you called it the other week though as well, didn't you? That you're considering it.
Yeah, I think you can get lost in the double game weeks and using triple captains, and a lot of people used it very successfully recently with Man City, with Aguero, some very unsuccessfully with Sané, so...
It's interesting you should say, I think people can get lost in overthinking and prepping for these weeks. So if you're going to prep for game week 31 through transfers, looking at the teams that play, it's Bournemouth, Burnley, Chelsea, Everton, Fulham, Huddersfield, Leicester, Liverpool, Newcastle and West Ham. There's not many great assets in that. So you're going to have to take out any City assets you might have. You're going to have to take out any Tottenham assets you might have.
That's why I said just 7 or 8 players I'd be happy with. I'm not saying let's get a full 11 for that week, because you could end up then destabilising your team too much just for the sake of getting... you know, a Bournemouth starter, which is not really going to be worth it. So, City, yeah, we can come to that. I mean, we've got Aguero. We've got to address this week, actually, with our own team, because we've got, you know, many absentees. We've got Martial injured, Holabas suspended, Quayne doesn't even play, Aguero's blanking, Alonso's blanking. But, you know, we can come to that at the end. Tim, have you got any alternative strategies for planning for the blanks and doubles?
Yeah, so I'd look into if you only had one of either the wild card or the free hit available.
That's me.
And that is Adam. So Adam, listening.
Oh no, I have none, sorry. But I've turned up.
Oh, if you've got none, we decided not to do none, but we just decided that you were screwed if you had none left.
Well, thanks for that.
I'll help you out with that one.
Thank you.
To be honest, my strategy is very similar to yours. So game week 31, prepare for through using your free transfers. I think 8 of the teams that play in game week 31 also play in game week 33. So Bournemouth, Burnley, Chelsea, Everton, Huddersfield, Leicester, Liverpool and West Ham have a game in 31 and a game in 33. So I would probably use transfer. If I only have my free hit available, I would work my team round so it would have a full squad out for game week 31 and 33 out of those two teams. And then I would use my free hit on game week 32 and then just deal with what's happening with 35. I think I'd probably do the same if I had a wild card. I think I would sort my team out for game week 31 and then wild card game week 32 in preparation for the double and see who plays double in those weeks for 33 and 35. So Chelsea assets, for example, might play twice. I think Arsenal have the possibility of playing in 32 and 33. or a double in 32 and a single in 33. Yeah. So there are a couple of teams that have a double game week followed by not having a blank one in 33.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the advantage of free hitting in the double 32 is that United and Wolves both play twice there, whereas they don't play either side of that game week. So for 1 week only, you get those players in who've been very good all season, and then you basically don't have them for the other game weeks because they blank. So that's quite attractive. And then you just wildcard them back in game week 34.
Yeah, I mean, just to help you out, Adam, yes, I've been looking at just literally making transfers. And, you know, whether it's, I think our site team, we've got two or three City players, or maybe just one now.
Just one now.
My team, I've got Laporte and Sterling. Those guys play three times in the next five game weeks. Like, I've got to get rid of them, you know. And even though City's fixtures are okay, I'm happy to get them back in, you know, when I kind of wild card a bit later. But at some point this week, I think, I mean, I'm looking at Liverpool. You know they're going to be playing hard. They're one team that literally has, I think I'm right in saying, they've got no blanks the whole way through.
That's right, they just play one game every
week. Yeah, I'm happy with that consistency. You know, among the high scorers in the league. You never know in terms of rotations come the Champions League latter end. But I'm definitely looking at having two or three Liverpool players in my team, as bad as that feels.
Yeah, I think Leicester would be a good team to go down that route as well. They've got a fixture every game week.
Yep.
Their upcoming ones, Palace, Brighton, Watford, Fulham, Burnley, Bournemouth, Huddersfield. It's a great run of fixtures for them. And if they're playing every week, you could maybe stick in two or three from that. So Maguire at the back.
Pereira's looking like quite a popular option, isn't he? 5.3.
Vardy, although he was
dropped, didn't he? Great, played up top. And then he came on and missed a penalty, didn't he, with his first touch?
Yeah.
Did then score, though, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, their fixtures are good. Burnley is the other team who have similarly. They're playing every game week, you know, just one game. Okay, fixture list. They're going to be scrapping. They have improved. They are still conceding goals, even though they've improved. But I'd potentially look at some of those as well.
Plus, when you get to the end of the season, there's always the teams that are lower down suddenly start. There's always a couple that start there producing and flying up the league, and Burnley could be one.
If you remember that Wigan season, when like they had like five of the top six in the last seven games, and I think they won four of them or something like that. Yeah, like
Crystal Palace as well the other year.
Yeah,
you know, when they were saying they're definitely down, and they went on that spree.
Well, Leicester the year before they won the title as well, didn't they? They did that. I was gutted that Chelsea didn't win against United in the FA Cup, actually, because they had, that would have maintained the prospect of a possible triple game week later on in the season. It's not to be now, but that's what I was thinking, maybe for our triple captainship. But
I do go off what Tim's saying, though. I think that planning can happen. There is no way that like the players will be playing all three of those games. And people just think, I mean, Hazard typically hasn't been playing the Europa League as the season's gone on and so on.
It's why I'd be worried about getting rid of any City assets. So I know they've only got 3 in 5 weeks, but it's 3 in 4 if you ignore that game week that's on 31. And if Aguero, Sterling, Laporte, they score as heavily as they have done in the last two game weeks, you're going to be missing out on 15 points. And that sort of total can really sort your team position out.
It can. I'm just looking at, I mean, they've played one game more than everybody else as well right now. I like United. They're playing very well. You know that Pogba is going to play every single game. Rashford's playing pretty much every game apart from being rested. 12 games left, 7 of them are at home. There's only two other teams that have 7 home games left this season. That's pretty big. So United's another team that I'm looking at potentially bringing in. I take your point with City. I mean, they score points. He is going to rotate. I know
Gabriel Jesus is apparently out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I'm
just thinking of Aguero.
No, you're right, Aguero, I think. But the others, I can see rotating. They'll beat Schalke, though.
You say about riding Aguero, but this week in our own team, our side team, we're struggling to get 11 out. Now,
you've got to change him.
A potential would be Aguero to Aubameyang, because Aubameyang is one of the obvious captain choices this week. And then, but the problem is, you probably wouldn't then be getting Aguero back because of the upcoming blanks. So you could lose out doing that. So that's the problem.
Yeah, but you know, Aguero, Arsenal, they've got 3 home games in the next 4. I think that's still worth the change. I'm fine for getting rid of City players in the next 5 match days. And that's what I'd be working towards with your transfers.
Well, obviously, we'll decide on Friday when all the press conferences are in what we do. Adam, you'll be penning the Team TSZ article this week, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. When we make wholesale changes.
Yeah.
And try and take some of our own advice.
No, look out for that. And that brings us on to some of our other content this week. So we've got our captain's picks, and that's already there for you to read. We've then got Mark Joblin's projections outlook tomorrow, which will be followed by Colm again as he comes in with his fixture analysis. And that'll be a good one to look at, because I'm sure we'll look at various approaches to different chip strategies that we've covered here. And then finally on Friday, he will have the predicted lineups, team news and press conference quotes updated throughout the day. And just speaking of Friday, make sure that you remember the deadline, because there's 2 Friday evening games, so the Game Week 27 deadline is 6:45 p.m.
And with that, I think it's probably time to call it a day. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks from Rob.
Cheers, guys.
And Tim.
Cheers.
And Tristan.
See ya.
Thanks from me. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Brought to you by the Stat Zone.